You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good to be back to the shelter. We were here when this was not like it is today, and the amazing things that have happened here, amazing people. And all of that sort of thing. It's such an honor to be here today. We, as Ryan said, we work mostly out of country now. We work in what we call trauma-competent caregiving. And trauma-competent caregiving is we work with people who work with kids who've been trafficked or abused, neglected, whatever, mostly in third world countries. So that's what we do much of the time when we're not here. I was so excited to hear pastors talk about beginning a series on the power of a lie. And if we don't get this piece right, we don't get the power of a lie, we don't get the dynamic connection between truth and lies right, nothing else will be right. And I think we just keep trying to make it right, keep trying to do something different. Do this, do that, and all the time and all the while, we're doing things, trying to make it right, but we never look at what's made it wrong. And what is it that's made us wrong? A lie. I believe the lie is the source of why we suffer so much and why the world is in such chaos, because of a lie that just sits right there and does what it does. The power of the lie. And I want to talk to you briefly, and I'm so honored to just kick off this series, and I hope you come and listen to it, and let the lie in you be exposed, and the truth speak truth, and instantly, just like that, my gosh, it's gone. I had a lady call me when I was pastoring in West Carrollton, and she called me and said, Pastor, this is so-and-so. She was a part of the church we'd come from in Lebanon, and she said, have you ever heard of this theophostic thing? I said, what? No, I never heard of that. And I am an asker of questions. I ask her, what is that? Well, she says, I don't know. I saw a guy in Cincinnati who did theophostic with me, and she said, the burden I was carrying all of my life is gone. Whoa, another question. What's theophostic? How do you know? I followed, and I found myself going to Campbellsville, Kentucky to be with Dr. Ed Smith. And he was the one that God used to bring to clarity, if you will, theophostic. And but basically, theophostic is just a prayer ministry that exposes lies and brings truth. That's all it is. And so I use that a lot because I know that unless and until we get truth on our lives, we're going to stay stuck in our dark place. No matter how long you've been a believer, no longer how many times you've read the scripture, how much you've given, whatever, if the lie is there, it's tripping you up. Guarantee you. And so I want to talk to you briefly about that this morning. And I have spent, as we mentioned with Ryan, I have spent 50, or over these years, I have spent thousands of hours with thousands of people. And as I listen to them, I have come to a conclusion that I want to share with you this morning. And I've thought about it a lot. I've bounced it off a lot of people. And the conclusion to the matter is what I'm going to share with you right now. The key to spiritual and emotional health is found in a truth-based view of God and of ourselves. The core to our emotional, spiritual health rests on a foundation of an accurate view of God and understanding of ourselves. Otherwise, it's just chaos. And if we don't get those two things right, an accurate view of God and of ourselves, the foundation will not hold. Robert Clinton, he's a professor at Fuller Seminary in California. looked in the scripture, and he found a lot of the leaders in scripture. Matter of fact, he said 70% of leaders in scripture do not end well. They end badly. 70%. 7 out of 10. 30% end well. Of course, that leads to another question he had. Why is it that 70% end badly and 30% end well? So he began to study the story of those who have failed and those who have succeeded. And he found a very simple little thing that goes along with this. Those who succeeded had an accurate view of God and a clear understanding of themselves. Accurate view of God, accurate understanding of who God is, and a clear, healthy view of who they are. And if we don't get that right, as I said earlier, nothing else is going to come together. Who is God and who am I? Coming together. And I have a more accurate view of myself now than I've ever had, and I'm healthier because of that as well. So this right here is the core to just about everything that about life. An accurate view of ourself and of ourselves. So I want to share briefly with you about the power of the lie. Now, if you're going to talk about the power of the lie, you're going to talk about the power of the truth. It's either this or that. It's not one or the other. It's this or that. Joseph Prince, who I probably read most of his book, says, you cannot live right if you believe wrong. Think about that. Your journey will not go well. Your life will not go well. Your relationships will not go well. Your finances will not go well if you believe wrong. Because it's a guidance system that's off, and we can't get to where we want to go and need to go. If what I believe is not true, then I'm going to suffer consequences of it. Another quote I use is the one from Robert Morris, who was a pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas. He says, you know, and these are very powerful, simple statements, but they have incredible meaning to them. And if we would grab a hold of them, they would begin us on a journey out of this darkness into the light, out of poverty into prosperity. And he says that any way of thinking that is contrary to the word of God opens a door to the hordes of hell. Whoa. I read that. I said, is that too dramatic? Is that too much? I don't think so. Because Satan is a liar, and the way he does what he does, which is to destroy us, he uses lies. And if what I'm believing is contrary to the word of God, that means I'm believing lies. That simple. And when I believe a lie, I'm opening the door to a greater and larger extent to the hordes of hell. Think about that. That is why truth-based belief, truth-based living is so incredibly important to us all. Any way I think. So, you know, do you realize this? And I was talking to somebody in the first service, after the first service. This was true for him. We are developing a belief system even in utero. Been proven. Even inside the womb, not in an express way, but implied way, the child in the womb is developing a belief system. He already is interpreting the world into which he will be born, and that belief system will be a guiding principle in his life. It's amazing. That is why it is so important that we have the courage and the strength and the will to look at what we have picked up along the way, that's lies. Because those lies are infecting us, and they are contagious. That's how powerful they are. Well, my mom told me this, or my family's always done that, or we've taught a lot in Kyrgyzstan and other cultural countries, or third world countries, and a lot of the young people, universities there, we talk to them, and their belief system is passed on from generation to generation. They may not, at the core, believe it, but they believe it because they're supposed to believe it. It's passed on. The lies are passed on, and they just continue the line. Have the courage to look at yourself and look at the lies you've embedded and embraced. Incredibly powerful. And it is essential to our emotional and spiritual well-being. I love what 3 John says. A little verse in there. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So many times we want our kids to be popular and prosperous and powerful and movers and shakers and all that stuff. But at the core of all things, and I got my family's here, my daughter and son-in-law and grandkids and my son are here, his and our granddaughter. For them, my wife and I, Jane, who is here, for them, every day, twice a day, we pray that they'll walk in truth. Because they cannot prosper, nor will they end well if they walk in lies. We were in South Korea recently. Beautiful young people. We were complimenting on them. They were so just beautiful young people. And we were talking, and I forget how the conversation came up. But one of the somebody we were with there in South Korea said, you know, South Korea has one of the highest suicide rates of young people in the world. What? A prosperous, dynamic country like this, beautiful young people, and it's the second cause of suicide in our country, by the way, in this country. Suicide among young people. And I asked, why? Why are these beautiful kids in this beautiful country committing suicide? Because they are pushed beyond their limits by culture and many times by family to prosper and to be good at education and good at this and good at that. And they're pushed and pushed and pushed, and it becomes unbearable. And the only thing, and by the way, suicide is a lie-based action. The only solution they have is to check out. It's a lie. We want our kids, our family, to walk in truth. Because when they walk in truth, they'll walk in freedom. Hallelujah. As I mentioned earlier again, and I say this often, I've had the privilege through the years of just sitting and listening to thousands of people. Christians who no longer serve Jesus. Pastors who no longer pastor. All kinds of people. And I called on them, and I asked them to leave these chairs up here, stools, so I kind of demonstrate what I do. But I sit with them and connect with them. And I ask them, what's happened? What happened? Why are you in this dark place? Why are things so broken in your life? And I hear all kinds of answers to that question, but the bottom line or the common denominator of these questions is this: I was deceived. I was deceived. They believed something that was a lie, and once embedded, it took them to this dark place. I was deceived. Could we have that up there, please? That comes from Genesis 3:13. It's the first place in Scripture where the power of a lie is mentioned. Eve was deceived to believe that the best thing she could do is take this thing and eat it. And from that moment to this moment, right now, we have lived under the curse of that lie. That's how powerful it is. And I asked them, what has happened to you? Why were you pastoring and now you're not? Why were this? Why? And basically what I hear is, they believe a lie. They are deceived. And sometimes they never correct that lie. And this verse in Genesis 3:13 shows us something very important. That a lie precedes an action. She was believing something before she acted. And a lie always precedes an action. This drug will be good for you. All the people are doing it. Go in debt for that car. Don't you understand? You get lots of women. All kinds of stuff. We buy into that nonsense all the time. We are deceived. We act on it. We carry it. We embrace it. And how'd I get here? A belief always precedes an action. And an action, a belief is the guiding principle in our lives. So the first mention of the power of a lie is in Genesis 3:13. There it speaks about how she was deceived and she ate. And all hell broke loose. And we'll be this way until Jesus returns. But we don't have to wait and live in the power, the darkness, and the cursedness of the lie. We can choose the truth. Let me tell you a story. I told it the first service. Jane and I were in Virginia Beach. Power of a lie. We were in Virginia Beach, some kind of a conference, out in Founders Inn, and we were having lunch at that one of the days there, and a lady and her husband, her name was Claudia, I don't remember his name, sat with us, never met him before, didn't know him, very prosperous looking people, very successful, very articulate, and I have a tendency to ask people questions, and before long she was telling me her story, and Jane was there. I wouldn't tell the story had she not been there, because you wouldn't believe it. But she was there, and let me tell you a story about the power of a lie. Now, has a lot going for her, but she has an incredible fear of walking down across the center of a room. To the extent that she can, she always hovers around the edges, comes in the side, but anything to avoid walking down the center, across the center of a room. And of course, my question is, why is that? She said, well, it's the strangest thing, and I've never found out why, and nobody can help me. She said, every time I either think about walking across the floor or actually walk across the floor, I feel incredible fear. Now, this is a born-again believer in Jesus. Very successful lady, but racked with fear. I can say, well, that's stupid. Floor is fine. Would that be of help to you? Does it help to help tell people they're stupid or what's wrong with you? No, it doesn't help. It just increases their shame. I said, oh, really? So what do you feel when you walk across the floor? She said, I feel incredible fear. Fear of what? I asked Claudia. She said, I fear I'm going to fall through the floor. Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the power of a lie. We're at work here. And I said, Claudia, would you mind meeting with me and Jane sometime during our time here? And we'll talk about that. She said, sure, whatever. So I sat with her, and like I have with thousands of other people, and I say, when you walk across the floor, you're afraid, you feel like you're going to fall through the floor? Yeah, I want you to think about that, I told her. Think about falling through the floor. Okay. What do you feel, Claudia? She said, I feel fear. Well, you feel fear? Well, focus on that fear. And is it okay with you, Claudia, if why you feel that fear comes to your mind? Because the fear is coming from someplace. It had nothing to do with the floor. It had nothing to do with the moment. That fear was coming from a source. Always a source. And unless and until we get to the source, not much is going to happen. Almost instantly and immediately, she said, oh, my gosh. Oh, my, she said. And I've learned not to interrupt that. I'm just sitting there. What's going on, Claudia? And she said, I'm in my mother's womb. Oh, really? What's going on? Now, here again, you could say, I don't believe that nonsense. I don't believe in that at all. I have an eyewitness right back yonder, and I've seen it far more times than just the one time. She said, I'm in my mother's womb, and I hear the doctor say to her mother, you're going to lose this baby. In other words, Claudia, through implicit interpretation, was believing that she's going to fall through the the birth canal, middle of the floor. And I said, okay, is it okay, Claudia, if we ask Jesus about that? And I could say to her, well, you're not going to, no, that's, you know, I didn't say anything. I asked stuff. I said, oh, Claudia, is it okay if we ask Jesus about that? And she said, yeah. And I said, Jesus, you know where Claudia is, and she's afraid she's going to fall through the birth canal and all that stuff. And what do you want her to know? And she just literally saw his hands underneath her, as if to say, Claudia, you're safe. You're not falling through any floor. You're not falling through any birth canal. We were there another day or two, saw her a couple more times after we had that. It was gone. She had lived 50-some-odd years in bondage to that lie. And nobody could help her except Jesus, who reveals truth. It's incredibly powerful. But that just shows you how powerful lies are. Incredibly powerful how they are. And unless and until we get to them, to the source of them, they remain the same. One of the things that we use in our training, just used it yesterday actually, we trained some people in Dayton, and one of the little 18-minute videos that we show is called What We Learn Before We're Born. What we learn before we're born. And the brain is recording stuff long before we come through the birth canal. What we learn before we're born. And those people who come from abusive backgrounds and parents who didn't want them and the parents curse the child within them, they grow, they come into this world with those lies embedded in them. I wish it were not so, but it is. And it's true. So we live in a world that's absolutely awash in lies. Look at the world. Awash in lies. Talking heads, libraries are full of people. Everybody's talking about what in the world has happened to us. What in the world do we need to do to get... And my friends, at the core of all this chaos in the world, you peel it back. And there it is. We have embraced a lie. And the lie is doing its job. This is not on the PowerPoint, but years ago I started teaching a course called The Marketing of Evil. And evil, or lies, are marketed. There is a mind behind deception. There is a mind behind evil. There is a diabolical mind behind evil, known as Satan, the thief, all kinds of different things. But there is a mind behind evil. And there are also human fingerprints on acts of evil. Think about that. No act of evil can happen, nor will happen, apart from somebody's hands on that, in that, involved with that. But behind that is a mind that's governing evil, marketing evil. And so I talked about that. And how is evil marketed? Well, evil is marketed by, first of all, by redefining truth. Turn truth into a lie. Turn truth into a lie. And when truth is turned into a lie, we lose our direction. We lose our moorings. We lose everything we need. And so they've taken the truths of God, redefined them, and reframed them, and turned them into something that was never meant to be. They take, and I could go on and on about how different situations in the world, but they've taken the truth of God and redefined it. And if you don't agree with them, if you don't agree with the lie, the marketing of evil, if you do not agree with their new definition of the old truth, then you're jammed. Well, what do you mean jammed? I mean, you're called a bigot, a fool. What's wrong with you? This is, you know, And many, many of our churches are being jammed for speaking truth. Basically, evil does not want you to know truth. Why? Because if you know truth, you know who's behind the lie and you can deal with it. So, redefine truth. Not just tweak it, but redefine it. If you don't agree with it, you get jammed. And over time, and here's where we are today, culture is converted to the lie. That's why church attendance, all kinds of stuff that used to be in place, no longer is, because our culture is being converted to the lie. Wow. He used the same steps, if you will, that Jesus uses. He just uses it to promote his lies. Jesus uses it to promote truth, and the truth will convert culture to the truth. Same principle, just diabolically opposite in that sense. That's where we are. That is why I so applaud Pastor and his staff here for beginning this series on the power of the lie. But I told the first service, and I mean this sincerely, and I didn't think about this morning before I got here, I'm telling you, if you're going to do this, you're going to upset a whole lot of demonic strongholds. They want you to preach and teach and talk about fluff. Not this. So walk confidently and boldly through this, and I hope that it exposes some of the lies that you believed. Because unless and until they're exposed, nothing will change. But Eve was given a choice, this or that. She chose that. I want to give you, as I close, what I call the eternal choice. There's something Satan cannot take away from you, and that is your choices. He cannot violate your will, nor will God. We're left unto ourselves to make the choices of our own life. And that's good news. We can't blame anybody, anything, anywhere that made us make choices other than that which we ourselves have chosen. So I want to give you one of my favorite definitions of what I just talked about. It's in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 19, or verse 19 and 20. This is God speaking through Moses. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Always when I read this or share it, I always have in my mind an image of a table. There's no flowers on the table. There's no incense burning. It's just a table set up in the heavens somehow or another. And on this side, there are blessings, and on this side, there are curses. On this side, there is life, and on that side, there's death. And that's all that's on the table. No soft music in the background. There is a company of witnesses around. That's all. And now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. The choice you make, my friends, has eternal and generational consequences for good or ill. Choose life. Choose the blessing. And why would someone not? There's only one answer to that. They believe a lie. In this chaotic world, Jane and I have we talk about this and not self-righteous nonsense or any of that sort of stuff. We just often say, thank God for the platform of faith in Christ that has been laid for us. And no matter what happens, we're safe in Jesus. Beyond that, we don't know anything. Beyond that, we don't really need to know anything. We are safe in Christ. Why? Because we have chosen life and the blessing. And I hope in some way the choices that we made are percolating down through the generations, and I believe they are. It's incredible how that works. And then the last, verse 20, it says, regarding what we just read in verse 19, it says, this is the key to your life. This is the key to your life. We're always looking for a key, for a secret. Something. What is the key to my life? The choice for truth and life and blessing and God. That's the key. And you don't have to be a part of this church. It's just a universal thing around the world. Choose life, my brothers and sisters, and see what God does with that life. One of the things he'll do, tell you right up front, is he will begin to expose the lies that are keeping you from experiencing the abundant life he paid for you. And that's painful. Really painful. But it's necessary. Because if our lies are not exposed and replaced with truth, we'll keep stumbling all over them. And we get to the end of the road and say, you know what? I was deceived. I talked to a guy 80-some-odd years old. Didn't live long after my conversation with him. And he said he lived his whole life angry and bitter. And ruined the relationship with these kids. Just so many losses. Because he was deceived to believe stuff that made him angry. It came out of his history. So, I close with this. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. Simple. Not thousands and thousands of words and subtitles and subheading. No. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Keep it simple. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And that very verse there is being jammed so that people won't believe it. Well, are you telling me there's only one way to God, only one way to heaven? Are you telling me you're special? You know how they jam that verse right there. Stand on it. Don't let them jam you. Yeah, that's what I believe. He's the way, the truth, and life. Lord God, thank you for truth. As you said in your word, Jesus, the truth will set us free. And if that is true, and it is, then the opposite is also true. The lie will destroy us. Just the way it is. May the healing power of the Holy Spirit flow through this crowd. Each life, may they not think about somebody else they should wish were here, but may they themselves say, am I embedding and embracing lies myself? Ask that question. Jesus, thank you for being with us today. And I bless this church and has moved forward. And may they see incredible things happen as they pursue truth. Amen. Let me say this. And I already said I'm going to close. And I am going to close. One more thing. I heard just the other day. This is a good place to stop or to place in. Either we'll pursue truth. Or truth will pursue us. Think about that. Oh my God, what have I done? Truth will finally reveal what we have done. Pursue truth, or truth will pursue us.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.